As soon as I start doing that, that guy's blowing his nose over there. That's a great way to start a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the train from Chicago to Minneapolis with the guy behind me blowing his nose. I don't even know how good this audio is going to be, but it doesn't matter. Carmen and I are bored. We're going to answer your questions live on the air. It's not live. I'm lying. Let me see where we are on the Fulton map. We are somewhere between Tomah, Wisconsin, and La Crosse. We are just outside of Sparta, Wisconsin right now. So what's that, about halfway to La Crosse from Tomah? Yeah. There will be people walking by. There will be other conversations in the background. You'll also hear Carmen's voice. Say hi, Carmen.
Hello, everyone.
And we're going to answer your questions. And if it's a Carmen topic, I'm going to give it to him. And if it's a me topic, I'm going to give it to me. Okay. So, here we go. There are currently 14 questions on Twitter. Well, 13 questions on Twitter. And 3 on Slack. I'll try to get to as many as I can. No order. I'm just going to go through this. In reverse order here from when I put it out. Okay, here's the first one. This is all me. Is the Empire Builder on time? Is the food still bad? A, no, it's not on time. Come on. I'm on the train. It's not going to be on time. The freight systems own America's railways, and they make Amtrak stop whenever they want to because they flex on them all the time. So, no, Amtrak's never going to be on time. Although we're only probably 20 minutes behind right now, so it's fine. Two, is the food still bad? We had dinner in the dining car with a very nice couple from Milwaukee. Carmen, your thoughts on the food?
Above average.
Yeah, it was good, right?
Yeah.
Amtrak has great food.
It was quick.
Yes, very fast. He had the chicken. I had the rigatoni. It was good. Okay, there's our Amtrak question. What is Illinois' place in the new Big Ten? We used to have hope of making the Big Ten championship once a decade. Now we may never even have hope of a top half finish. Good question. I'll let you go first.
You let me go first when I never look ahead to 2024, so I don't even know what the schedule is.
I mean, generally, if you add USC, Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and if we thought of ourselves, you know, as maybe the 10th best program or the 12th best program, I mean, we're what? In an 18-team Big Ten, the 15th best? I mean, we don't have the potential of everyone else. We don't have the history of everyone else. So what's our place?
Middle of the pack because of the transfer portal. So even if you develop freshmen and they become sophomores, juniors, and they start at seniors, and that's, quote, the year you might go 8-3,
yep,
9-2, or 9-3.
Golly, you still live in the 1999 world.
Yeah, 11 games.
Uh-huh.
Other teams that are coming off a 3-win season can vault you with the transfer portal.
Yep.
So it is middle of the pack, and you hope to peak once every 4 years.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it makes me think of, like, Michigan State in the 1 year with Mel Tucker figuring things out. They get Kenneth Walker. He's really good. They have the offensive line for it. They win 10 games. The next year, where they win 5, this year they're going to win 4 or 3, and then maybe they figure it out in the portal again with a new coach and win 9 and then back to 5, and everybody rides that thing. And so we won 8 last year and maybe 5 or 6 this year and hopefully more next year. I agree. I don't know if I'd call us middle of the pack, though. I think the pack will be, yeah, there's going to be, I don't know, with the top.
That's your range. Your range is 7 to 10.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah. I would say, yeah, our ceiling is 5. You know, like, there's always that Northwestern 95 team that suddenly wins, you know, hasn't won anything and then suddenly wins 11 games or whatever. So there's a chance we could be in the Big Ten championship game some year. A 2001 happens, you know, you get the right quarterback, you get a bunch of seniors, you figure something out. I mean, look how close we were last year to beating Michigan. You know, if we hang on and Purdue and Michigan State, we would have been in that category. We're close to it at least last year. So there's that opportunity. But as far as sustained, you know, I've always said I want to get, you know, Wisconsin traded places with us in 1990, or, you know, starting in 93, and I want our program back. I don't think that plateau where Wisconsin's been exists in the same way in this new Big Ten. I don't think there's that consistent team.
Cafe is now open and serving.
Got that? Cafe is now open and serving. Your thoughts?
So who's our protected pod games?
Northwestern, Purdue.
So we have to be the best of those three.
I like that.
And then take it from there.
I like that. Be better than Northwestern and Purdue.
Consistently.
That's two of our games. We get to schedule three of the others, so there's five wins if we're better than them. And then the other seven games.
Just got to win your home games.
Yeah.
Because you're not going out to Oregon, Washington.
Right.
Or, you know, L.A. schools and win.
Yep. I think that's right. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I don't foresee, even though the competition's getting harder, I don't foresee, you know, the bottoming out of certain teams because of the portal and because of the way it works now. Like, I don't think there's, you know, we had our 18-game losing streak in, you know, 97, 96, 97, 98. I don't think we'll lose. I don't think a Big Ten team will lose 18 games in a row anymore. Like, especially with the Big Ten elevating itself, Big Ten and SEC elevating themselves. Like, it's going to balance that out more. That you're just not going to have that 0-12, 1-11 Big Ten team anymore. I think that balances out. So the floor is higher just by being in the Big Ten. But we're certainly, I don't, like, do you think we could win the Big Ten again in your lifetime?
In the current structure without the divisions?
Yep.
Well, hope to live 50 more years. So I'll take one out of 50.
Okay. Yeah, that just seems so. You're right. With the divisions, you could win a bag Big Ten West. Like Wisconsin, what was that, 2012? When they went 6-6, but then blew out Nebraska in the. Was that 2013? I don't know. Whenever that was. You could be a mediocre team, somehow win the West, and then get lucky or have a really good game in the Big Ten championship game. Now you got to get second or first to get into that Big Ten. And that's 8-1 at a minimum, but probably 9-0. And are we going to go 8-1 or 9-0 in the Big Ten in our lifetime with these teams in there? I don't think so.
When's the last time we won 8-1, 9-0?
0-1.
Okay. And then before then? 83?
83.
Yeah.
So twice in our lifetimes?
And now it's harder.
We're both 50?
And now it's harder.
Yep. Just gave away your age. You're welcome. Okay, we got to get some more questions. Log down to Twitter. Hold on. Here we go. What should Michigan's punishment be? That's a great question. You want me to go or you want to go?
I'll go first because I won't answer it specifically. I am absolutely disappointed the Big Ten has done nothing. This is a school problem and a Big Ten problem before it's the NCAA. And it affects the integrity of the game. And the Big Ten just has refused to jump in on any of these. Fitzgerald, you know,
yep.
The Northwestern thing.
It was Mel Tucker.
Right, Mel Tucker, all quiet.
Yep.
Juwan Howard.
Yep.
It just, the Big Ten needs to jump in and show some authority because if you're going to wait for the NCAA, it'll be 4 or 5 years before anything happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. There is a certain level of... It makes me think of how... I mean, even before you and I were fans, there was that thing in 1980 with Dave Wilson's eligibility. And, like, Michigan and Ohio State were mad, and there were all these articles of, like, will Illinois quit the Big Ten, or, you know, does Michigan and Ohio State want Illinois out of the Big Ten, and all this. And there was, like, conference talk back then. Like, there was, like, a level of the conference handled its business, and the major programs spoke into it, and, you know... Bo Schembechler and Woody Hayes were these, you know, huge voices for the conference and all that. I don't think that... It doesn't feel like that anymore. It doesn't feel like the conference speaks like that or handles things like that. And there is a bit of a void there. Like, you have a team cheating on a brand new level. You know, think of Spygate in the NFL. Think of everything. Like, this is a significant thing. And all you get are rumors that the coaches are pushing the commissioner to do something.
You let Michigan in basketball decide not to play a basketball game.
Yes.
You're letting them make their own rules.
Yes.
And the Big Ten needs to step in and, right, take care of their business. These are going to be 14, you know, we have 18. 14 yep. going to 18 schools, yep. and we need to police ourselves and keep it a level playing field for everyone. And look at all the allegations going on in Michigan right now. Yep. I mean,
yeah, the coach who was accessing computer files that he shouldn't have, that's a whole separate thing. And Harbaugh was suspended for the first 3 games.
But he decided, but he turned down the NCAA.
Right.
4 games.
Right. Right.
Lack of institutional control.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting. You're right. It does feel like there is something. So if the question is what should be done, my answer is...
Well, if this was a business, Harbaugh would be suspended with pay pending a formal investigation.
Yeah.
I don't know who's conducting the investigation, but... A, I'm disappointed in the school for not suspending him, because that's what you do. Also, highly disappointed with the Big Ten for not doing anything, and now you're letting NCAA investigators come on campus to gather information.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think this one is very unique because it's being committed on other Big Ten campuses. Like, you're going to someone else's turf to get your information and to cheat.
During the current season.
Yes.
This is not, hey, 6 years ago we found this.
Yes. Yeah, when you, there's something to being on someone's campus. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Like, I agree. I follow Brian Cook from MGO Blog, another guy who has just started a website, and it's his job now.
Another finalist?
Yeah, finalist. You always say it backwards. You always say finalist. It's finalist. We'll get it right. I like the look you're giving me. He says, from his Michigan perspective, to me this comes down to the Big Ten commissioner is a TV guy who cares about TV money. And TV, you know. So he's like, as a Michigan fan, I feel pretty confident in that we're a big TV product and that helps us here, you know. And I agree with that. Like, you know, some of these decisions will be made with the fact that $1 billion has been spent on Big Ten football the next 7 years.
Across Wisconsin's governor, next station stop coming up just under 5 minutes. Once again, just under 5 minutes to Lacrosse, Wisconsin, or Lacrosse. Is your station stop? Please gather your belongings, make your way to the middle of the car downstairs to your train. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Lacrosse, Wisconsin, come right up. Thank you.
If you didn't catch that, he said it 6 times. We're almost to Lacrosse. And then we cross the river and then follow the river all the way to St. Paul, and then we get off.
And here's the thing. You want to stop hazing? now a head coach is fired. So I'm sure every program reassessed what was going on in the locker room and cleaned it up. You want to stop cheating? Well, guess what? You make an example of somebody. Why do people don't like the Houston Astros the last few years? They got caught. Does everyone do it? Probably to some sort of degree. Don't get caught. There's penalties.
Well said. All right, I'm going to go back to the questions here. I should have, figured out an easier way to do this. Oh, man, there's a whole bunch now. There are 17 questions. That's the number. All right, I'm just going to randomly pick one then. If we needed four statues for all four sides of our stadium, who are your other two statues? I like this. I like this a lot. I'll take one, you take one, okay? You want me to go first or you want to go?
Wow.
Yeah, it's an impossible question. Because we have, like, if we made a list of the greatest Illini players, it's like you do a list and it's like one, two, and then you leave three, four, and five blank.
Yeah, big drop.
And then you start with six. So we have the two statues, and I don't think we'll ever continue that. But if we did, I have mine. I have mine.
Well, you're the historian, so I'll leave this one to you.
Okay, that's fine. One would be Simeon. It would be Simeon Rice because when he left, he was the top sack guy in college football history. Dwight Freeney then broke that record, and I think it's been broken a few other times. But at the time, he was the single best at one thing in all of college football. Two-time All-American.
Still in a running conference.
Yes, in a running conference. And he, yes, exactly. Not if he was playing in another conference where they're dropping back every game, he would probably still have the sack record for all of college football. And he's like 19th in NFL history in sacks. Like he's top 20 in NFL history last time I looked. So this is someone who was really, really good at one thing and was the best in college at it. And I think that's got to be it. I think it has to be Simeon. He'd be my number three. Again, a level below what Butkus brought and what Grange, how he changed the game. He'd be number three. Number four? Gosh, that is so hard. I mean, if you know, it could be Ray Nitschke, but he probably wasn't the college player everybody remembers. He was more the professional. Grabowski was a big deal.
That's what I was thinking.
You were thinking Grabo?
Yeah.
You know I'm going Al Broski.
I'm going
Al Broski because he's still 29 interceptions in his career. He had, what was it, 14 games in a row with an interception? In a different era. No one will ever break his interception records. So that's what I'm going. I'm going Al Broski, Simeon Rice. Yeah. We did pretty good, Mother. Or I did pretty good there. Pat myself on the back.
Ladies and gentlemen, lacrosse. Lacrosse is up next.
Okay, I'm going to let you take this one. I like this question.
Pressure.
At the beginning of the season, I noticed way more line changes on defense. Recent games, I haven't noticed it as much. Did we start the season thinking Newton could play less total snaps and have now abandoned the thought? I know compared to other top players, he plays way more snaps. So, I mean, this came up a lot.
We
talked about it after the Penn State game. There was that big third down play, and Newton was very displeased that he was coming off the field for third and short.
Well, that was the third time he was pulled.
Yeah. So.
But you know why he was pulled.
Okay.
Because the opponent subbed.
And we
wanted to put a sub in, and we weren't going to change our nickel package. So you sub a defensive lineman to give you time to see the new formation and make your defensive calls. That's the only reason why he was taken out.
Yep.
And you take out, obviously you're not going to take out a pass rusher, your edge, right?
Yep.
You're already in a, say, a, you know, 4-2, 4-2-5 already. So your defensive tackles are the ones that come out. And you don't have Daxon in or Edwards in. So that's kind of why that sub happened. But
that's a great way to approach the answer here, is that we seemed to be making sure we subbed every time they subbed.
Every time.
Yes. And to where it's possible teams, you know, I started to think, are teams subbing here just because they know we're going to sub? And so they'll make a change, like, to do what you just suggested, mm-hmm. to force us to... I know we slow down tempo like that. You know, we slow down somebody who's on a roll by taking our time subbing somebody in. But I think the person asking this question is probably... We have, I feel like, gotten away from that. Like, we don't do it as much in these last few games.
Well, we're injured.
Yeah, it's true.
When you lose Keith...
Yep.
Now you're not rolling two lines, right? Before,
yep.
And I think in the beginning of the season, you had hopes that the second line of said Bryce Barnes, who's actually played pretty well on the season, and Edwards would come in and there wouldn't be much of a drop-off.
Yep.
But then, you know, with injuries, you had...
Moving Akis inside.
Akis. You had Alex Bray in there in the last Wisconsin.
Yep.
I mean, I think he'll turn out to be a really good player, but... You're going against a Wisconsin lineman at 260 pounds, and they're running at you.
Last call for lacrosse.
So I think at the beginning of the season, it was probably intentional to do some rotations. And when you start losing games, you start realizing your second unit, there's a bigger drop-off than you think. And the second line was in there on... key situation, key drives too. We're not talking, you know, it only happened in first and second quarter. It was a consistent effort to play both lines.
Yep.
I think you reassess that and say, "Is I have a first team All-American, and he needs to be out there for the 80 plays."
Yep. Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, last call for lacrosse. Last call, lacrosse.
Okay, we're about to cross the river, you know, and be in the state of Minnesota. Okay, I'm going to go to Slack for some of these questions. Who will be the MVP on both sides of the ball in these last 4 to 5 games? And just these last four, not the season as a whole.
Yeah, last four games. Playing Minnesota.
MVP.
You're playing Minnesota,
Indiana,
Iowa, and Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. MVP only for November. November MVP. So take nothing of what has already happened.
So you got it.
Okay, we'll both take a guy on offense and we'll both take a guy on defense. We'll snake draft it. You get to go offense first, then I'll go offense, then I get first defensive pick, and then you take defense. So MVP, November MVP, one guy on each side of the ball.
I'll overthink this way too much.
Okay. Do it.
Well, I'll take defense first. And obviously the obvious thing.
You take defense, I'll do offense first pick.
I think the obvious thing is you want to say Newton, but I have a feeling you're going to see him getting double teamed. Well, he's been double teamed a lot too this year and still has been disruptive.
Yep.
But I want to see after a bye week, Akis moving inside. I don't think Keith Randolph is going to play tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And has been dinged up and really hasn't played well this season. So if he gets the reps at defensive tackle one-on-one, I think you can get some defensive pressure, some sacks from him, because he's going to be going one-on-one.
Ladies and gentlemen,
so I'm going to go Akis on that.
I like that.
Might overthink that, but you can go Newton, which is fine. I mean, he's going to be first-team All-American and going to have a plaque, so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I have, like, the reason I'm going to go Newton for defense is just because I think he's angry. Like, God help the Minnesota offense tomorrow in the second half. You know, he's probably going to be an All-American. This is his last month playing college football. And he's feels like he was robbed of a game he could have won by himself. So I feel like, given those circumstances, Newton's the MVP of November, because he's going to go... I'm trying to think of a movie where somebody like gets angry and like Tombstone and go back into the town, or like, you know, like, this is gonna, what's the Clint Eastwood, Unforgiven, that's what it, like, Johnny Newton's about to go Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven at the end. Like, I believe this will be an angry month for him, of the double teams he's had to face, the injustice he believes happened in this Wisconsin game, and the fact that he has to sit the first half tomorrow. My defensive MVP is Johnny Newton.
Let's tie. Then we go 4-0. Let's
yes.
tie.
Yes, good point. Offensive, I will take... I will take Pat Bryant. Is that what you're going to take? You were going to take him. Love it.
Awesome.
There's nothing better than taking the guy you were going to take. Now you got to think of it. I'm going Pat Bryant. Like, Isaiah is going to be Isaiah, and you're going to give him the short stuff, and you're going to give him the, get him the ball on the edge and let him work a little bit. But I'm going to say against, especially against Northwestern and Indiana, who are going to give up passing yards, I think we'll get huge games from Pat Bryant. So you now have to come up with somebody else, young man.
I might need to hit the timer for a 10-second pause on this one.
Okay, I can do that because
I
would probably screw up restarting it.
All right, so you're going against defenses that are going to design to stop the run, so I just don't think it's going to be a running back.
Yep.
Altmyer will be fine. Is he going to be able to scramble as much as he did? So I'm going to go last four games, five touchdowns from Tip.
Ooh! We like that. Did you, by the way, did you see the river there? That was a nice little view, like going across the bridge over the river.
I was busy thinking about
okay. You're thinking about how the fact that I took Pat Bryant. Let me grab those other questions from Slack, because those people are like the supporters. How good can Luke be over the next few years? What's his ceiling? Is it Kirk Kittner? Juice? Nate? Seems those are the goalposts to shoot for and exceed. How good can Luke be the next few years? I mean, Nate's probably right. I don't know. That's what comes to mind. Like, he's quarterback-wise, he's the most like Nate. A better pocket passer than people give him credit for, but he can still run. I just feel like he's most similar to the career of Nate.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's his ceiling. Like 9,000 some passing yards in 4 years. He's not going to get to that, but Nate got 10,000. So, but that, I think that's my answer. I think if healthy, 3 years of Altmyer will look a lot like the 4 years of Nathan Shielhouse. I think that's probably how where he would be in my mind.
I think it's still tough for me to evaluate him just with our porous offensive line.
Yeah.
His running is, I mean, yes, there's
attention, ladies and gentlemen.
Hold on,
currently
attention.
Stopped here. There's the bridge in front of us over the Mississippi. It's open. There's a barge currently crossing the river.
I love
once
that this
again,
is game recorded.
We got
I love
some marine traffic ahead of us. The bridge is open. Once they get through, the bridge will come down. I mean, the bridge will spin. We'll go sit down at our next station stop of Winona. Thank you.
The bridge will come down. Yeah, that's not good.
Life jackets are under your seats on the train.
There's a, yes.
Are we above?
No, there's the little La Crosse has this little island on here, so that first bridge goes across the little bay that's next to, I don't even know what you would call it. And then this bridge goes across the Mississippi. I love that this, I just love that that's recorded. That's train travel, right? We stopped for a freight train, and then now we're stopped because the bridge is spun 90 degrees to let a barge through. All right.
So, as Robert knows, I'm not a big comp guy.
Yes, so, 100%.
So I will say this, is if you get him an offensive line and he's not running for his life, he's going to win you football games. Now, is he going to be a? Is he going to throw for 400 yards? The answer is no. Is he going to run for 100 yards every game? The answer is no. But he can move the ball with intermediate passing, one reads, learn not to force it, and then also make plays with your feet. So he can be a productive Big Ten quarterback. And if you take a look at the Big Ten this year, is I mean, you have a lot of first-year starters. No one's really – I know you got McCarthy at Michigan, but these quarterbacks are not playing lights out right now. So he can be very, very productive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like – I almost said it earlier, and I feel like I have to know. Like, there's also the thing now – you know, as I was talking about Shieldhouse, is like you can't, like, even though this is his transfer destination and a second transfer, he'd need a waiver. Like, I still have to say, like, well, if he's here 3 years, you know, like we can't ever just say, oh, this freshman's really good, his career will be good, because every player could leave.
And he could grad transfer, so he could
He could grad transfer.
He could be here this year, next year, and grad transfer.
Grad transfer and go somewhere else for his final year. Yep. See, there you go, there you go. There's lights, and we're crossing the river. Look at that. Train travel.
Above water, not under water.
Yes, yes. And then the bridge will go down. Oh, there's the barge. Okay. All right, let me get back to the questions. This is difficult when you're recording on the phone and you're doing this. I'm just going to pick at random. If any, which position groups are better this year compared to last? I like that question. If any, which position groups are better this year than last? Let's start with what's like no way. No way is safety better. That's, you know. Of course. No way is cornerback better. You lost a top five draft pick. No way. Linebacker.
Barnes and Dark Angelo.
Dark Angelo was great last year.
Your leading
pick,
right. Yep. So, no.
Yeah, you're not better.
You had Hart, too.
Uh-huh. If you go on the offense, offensive line is not better. No, no way.
Go back to defense. Your edge? No.
Edge is not better.
Your interior defensive line? No. When you bring all three in.
If you think of Avery versus Daxon.
Yeah.
And Randolph's been injured. Holy hell. So the entire defense is not.
But we knew that. You go from number one.
But you would think interior defensive line would be better with a year under their belt and a guy being an All-American.
I think we miss Kelvin Avery a lot more than people realize.
Offense, the line is not better. Wide receiver is the first one that says, yes, it's better. Didn't really lose. You lost Brian Hightower. That's it. You're getting production out of Isaiah. You're getting production out of Pat Bryant. You're getting a better year from Casey. I would say wide receiver is better. Tailback, of course not. You lost a 1,600-yard rusher. Tight end?
I was going to go tight end slightly.
Yeah, you're getting more from tip than you did last year. But you had Ford and Marquez last year. Are Moore and Boyer giving you that?
Not on the blocking.
Yeah. So we say tight end is a push?
Yep, then probably quarterback a push. Or I would.
I mean, DeVito only had five picks. Four picks.
If he didn't roll his ankle, I think he'd even played better in the last four or five games.
Yep. Yeah, I would still go DeVito over Altmaier, given the interceptions.
I mean, watch the first drive of that Iowa game with his mobility. I mean, you know, he picked up a lot of first downs with his mobility, too. And he rolled that ankle. And
did we just depress the hell out of ourselves?
Mm-hmm. But that's why you're stuck at three wins.
Wide receiver is better. And that's it.
Slightly.
Kicker is the same. Punting is better. Punting. Wide receiver and punting.
Yeah.
Your answer is wide receiver and punting. I'm moving on.
Quickly.
Is our gripe with officials as Illinois fans warranted? Can we put a blood pressure monitor on you for this very purpose?
It's already redlining.
You've postulated before that Bielma has been the beneficiary of calls going his way at Wisconsin and seems to be miffed that those go uncalled here at Illinois. How much is there to that? Okay, well, I'll speak to that first. All right.
Well, I was going to say, as a former official.
Yes. Speaking as a former official.
I'll take the second part of that.
I'll just repeat what I've said before. I don't believe officials hate Illinois. I don't believe officials are like, oh, I'm going to get them this week. I don't think they're crooked. I don't think they're intentionally, like, nobody's on the take. I don't think anything like that. I do think that it's very easy to throw a flag in Memorial Stadium and much harder to throw it at Ohio State. That just human nature is, of course, Illinois held on that play. And, well, there's no way Michigan held on that play. They're Michigan. There is a human nature to it that I've always observed and I've always talked about. And I think, you know, what I've said, what he's repeating what I've said there is that I think a lot of Bielma's frustrations with the officials these last 2 years is, how come I'm only seeing this now? I did not see this when I was the head coach of Wisconsin, and now I'm seeing it all the time. Why is that so different from my experience at the other place? And my answer is that it's just really easy to throw a flag on Illinois. You know, I wrote that thing after the Michigan game last year. Like, that pick play on 4th and 2, you know, that official is fully aware when he puts his hand on his flag. If I throw this flag, Michigan is out of the playoff. If I keep this flag in my pocket, Michigan makes the playoff. I now, in this moment, determine whether they go to the playoff or not. And he didn't throw the flag. And I get it. I would have those same emotions regardless of the team that's out there. If I'm working a high school game and I know the state title is determined by this flag or not, it's a lot easier to not throw the flag when it's the historic team, and it's a lot easier to throw the flag when it's the nobody team in everyone's eyes. That's my feeling, and so I do believe there's something to it, and it just simply traces back to the fact that we've been bad. We're a team that has had a lot of penalties in the past, and it's just easy to throw that flag. Your thoughts?
I agree exactly. I mean, so this is where the difference in basketball and football come into play. 99% of basketball is bang, bang. You don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You see it, you call it. Now, I also understand with 3 minutes to go in the game, there's a timeout in basketball. The refs get together. Hey, so-and-so's got a fourth foul, or, you know, there's 30 seconds to go, quote, make it a good one.
Yes.
So there is a little bit of that. So
if he's
going to
foul
it,
out, right. It better be, don't make it a touch.
Yes.
Yes.
So there's a little more of then, I don't want to say scrutinizing as you're an official, like just a quick hesitation on that. But for the most part, for basketball, it is bang, bang. It's purely instinct. You've been doing 1,000 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could be reffing between, you know, a family game, and I would,
yep.
Instinct just takes over.
Yes.
Contrary to football, where it's not bang, bang, because you have a flag and not a whistle, and you can throw the flag over a 8 second. And as we saw a few times last year, flags come out 3 to 4 seconds after a play has ended.
Yep.
So I think there's a lot more gray area, and refs in their head going through, I saw something, do I call it or not? Was it?
Yes.
Was it a flag?
100%, yes.
And I think that's where the consistency or the lack of consistency comes in. You called it in the first quarter a hold. Now are you willing to call it in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go in the game?
Yes.
And unfortunately, let's face it, good teams get called. I mean, just aggressive, just like in basketball. Oh, they're aggressive. They don't call fouls out. Aggressive teams don't get fouls called on them. It's the slow-footed, unathletic guys that get fouls called. Same thing, you know, in football. The bad teams hold.
Yep.
The bad teams commit penalties.
And refs are used to that.
Yes.
They're aware of that, and they think about that going into a game.
Yes.
And that bias is almost impossible for them to hold off on.
And we've been bad, and you don't get top crews, and
yes.
You get bottom end crews that haven't worked together, so they don't understand each other's technique, and you have some refs reaching, which is not reffing your zone and stuff like that, and it becomes an absolute nightmare. And when you have one winning season in the last 10, 12 years, that's what happens.
And the thing, if we wanted to change, the number one thing we can do is end our laughingstock days. Like, be a program that gains the respect, and we'll start getting the calls. I truly believe that.
My big thing is the consistency on instant replay. So I'll go on my quick tangent here. It from game to game, because you have officials, the official, each official is determining and interpreting an instant replay, as opposed to going to like the Big Ten office and one guy is doing it for all the games for the 12 or 13 games. So it's administered consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I see targeting, no calls, called, kicked out, game to game to game, not just an Illinois game. What's a hold? I have no idea what's a hold. What's pass interference now, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it changes from game to game. I like consistency. And if you hear even Bielema or Underwood talk, consistent whistle.
Yep.
Don't change the whistle. And what a foul is in an Illinois-Kansas exhibition game, well, not X, but you know what I mean, is a foul in the Final Four.
Yep. Totally. Well said. All right. Sorry, it takes me a bit to get scroll my phone back to. Okay. Just pick a random one. What resource from the University of Illinois itself would you want the football team to use more of? For example, would you want the football team to poach some data science majors to be the analytics department interns? I can take this one because I have an answer. I'll take this one 100% to myself. Because it's something I have planned for the off season. Gosh, if I say it now, then somebody's just going to like go do it. Well, I don't think they would do that if I'm on the record saying that I'm going to do something. I have written down as a plan for the off season, to study the winds in Memorial Stadium with someone in, I don't know, what is it, aeronautical engineering?
Yeah.
I want to partner with a professor to build a model of the stadium and study how the winds swirl in a horseshoe-shaped stadium like that, where wind can, if it's out of the south, move unabated underneath the stands and above the stands. Like, I don't know if anyone has ever stood in the south end zone on the field when the wind is out of the south, but is this very weird thing that those tarps are there, but since there's nothing, like the underneath the horseshoe is kind of open right there, and those winds from under there through the tunnel areas and this and that swirl around. It's so weird. So yes, I would love, since we have this crazy windy stadium, as we saw in the last game, where some games you only have two quarters to score, I really want to have the university study the winds and the ways a team could benefit from it. There's my answer. It's a really good answer. You should be complimenting me right now. Favorite road trip in the Big Ten? You've been to a lot of stadiums.
Yeah.
This guy has two questions. Which players have surprised you the most, and favorite road trip in the Big Ten?
Any road trip where you win. So favorite road trip. You have to be with your friends, and you got to win.
Yes.
That's standard.
Yes.
Otherwise.
Like, I think of Michigan State because of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were there with those other four guys. What was that?
Rubber band.
That was the weirdest thing. Like, it was coming at my face, and I just had this, like, your brain processes it like that. It was something like liquid being propelled toward my face. So we went with the boardroom guys to the Michigan State game, and that trip, the celebration, walking to the bars afterwards. We come back from 28-3 to win. We score a touchdown, less than 10 seconds left. Like, you don't beat that, you know. And it's hard to separate that from. Like, oh, that's a cool city. You know, like, I have great memories of Michigan State, and I have horrible memories of, like, you know, I have great memories of Penn State football from the 9 overtime game. But I hate going to Iowa. Like, it makes me angry to think of going to Iowa. But if we win in 2 weeks at Iowa and there's some great experience, I'll be like, oh, I love road trip to Iowa. God, it's so great, you know. It's just impossible to separate. Best city?
Well,
can we do that?
Road trip.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I'm a road trip guy.
Yeah.
So I will say early on road trip, about 30 years of it, if not. Yeah, about 30 years started. You go with one or two guys.
Yes.
And sometimes the person you're going with isn't even an Illinois fan. It's the other fan.
Yes.
I'm going to a Wisconsin game. My buddy's a Wisconsin guy, so it's him and I going up there, right?
We went to the Micron PC Bowl with your buddy who's a Michigan fan.
Right.
Yes.
And so I went with him to the Michigan game with Rocky Harvey, right?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, yes, at the end of the game, then your best friend's cheering with everyone. But, you know, it was a two-person road trip, right?
Yep.
In your 30s, well, at least for our crew, right?
Yep.
30s gets, you know, a few more.
Mm-hmm.
Should
we tell people how we went to an NFL preseason game and you and the big guy challenged each other to a push-up contest on interstate off-ramp at 1:30 in the morning?
But that wasn't a college.
Okay, good point.
That was
okay.
NFL.
So Back on track.
And I think the last 10 years now is we've been road tripping with bigger groups.
Yes.
And that just makes it even more fun.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, the Nebraska last year in that bar afterwards, doing ILL, I&I chants across the bar with that other group of Illinois fans in the far corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is some, like, that is some high quality.
Minnesota 2 years ago.
Yes.
We were the...
only people left in the parking lot?
Yes, was a group of 8 to 10 Illinois fans, the last people in the parking lot.
Yes.
So now you're going with groups, and obviously the more people you go with, the better, right? So I just love road tripping. I enjoy a road win more than a home win. And it's just enjoyment. And probably, even though I'm a football guy, going for away basketball when there's like 5 Illinois fans. I mean, we travel pretty, as we talked about, we travel pretty good. But when you go to an away game like you and I, Iowa, 2 years ago, right? Now, yep. I sat by myself. There's a lot of reasons why. But
yes. Can I tell that story when you came over to the press area? I will. We beat Iowa at Iowa. You and I, we recorded the pod where I dropped the phone and we're driving through the sound and you were hating on the civil engineers in the greater Iowa City area.
But I sat by myself for that game.
Yes. So he comes over. There are still Iowa media there. We're in press row about halfway up in Carver Hawkeye. He's standing next to me. I'm getting my computer ready and together and we're going to leave. There's two Iowa media members, haven't gone to the press conference yet, sitting right in front of me. Jake Grandison walks back out on the court. Carmen yells, "Great game, Jake," and then roadkill. And the Iowa media members both stand up and turn around and look at who is yelling roadkill from the media area.
And Jake gave me the...
I think he even pointed. Yes. Was that 2 years ago? I guess that was almost 3 years ago now, right?
Going on 3, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yes.
Was that the Plummer game? Plummer hit the big 3 late. Yeah, that was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were big, and then they pressed us. And,
yeah, that was 2 years ago.
But that, football is amazing to win, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Basketball, when you're, 10 fans and 15,000. And I love football, but yelling roadkill.
The sound when Trent's threes dropped at Michigan and Michigan State back-to-back weekends, that sound of the road crowd of like, no, not again. Oh, God, he made it with a minute. That the sound of deflation in the arena, that's hard to beat. That's hard to beat.
And basketball's been more enjoyable, too, because we actually win on the road, right? I mean, football's been pretty bleak over the last 30 years.
Yes. But we're going to get another win tomorrow, right, Carmen? Okay. Back to the questions.
Oh, there was another part to that.
Oh, yes. What was it? Favorite road trip of the game. Which players have surprised you the most this season? Which players surprised you the most? We'll each pick one. You can go first. Player... surprised you the most?
Well, we just said everyone, the entire team.
Yeah, you good point. Disappointing.
Disappointing compared to last year.
But there's still players that, like, oh, I didn't expect that. Like, I didn't expect him to be in the rotation.
For football?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so Fagan.
Miles Scott is.
But we
before the season, we kind of had an idea. But still, like, we didn't think, like, he's a walk-on wide receiver last year. Like, you could say Miles Scott has been a surprise. This is not saying, like, Miles Scott is an all-conference player. But, he's been a surprise. But I say you can go first, and then I start throwing out names.
No, so. Go ahead. This might be I'm just disappointed on the season. So.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Well, so Robert and I, in the beginning of the season, said, write me down for a 6-6 season.
Yep.
Because I would like to see this program go to 4, 5, 6 consecutive bowl games.
Yes.
And when you're 3 years down the road now and you're saying we're going for a 5th bowl game, you won't remember that year 2 is 6-6.
Yep.
And we need to get to 6 wins.
Yep.
So, and we're sitting at 3, and it's been a disappointment.
Yes.
So, who has surprised me? Well, the list of disappointments far out exceeds the.
I mean, I have my guy. So you want me to go first? Because it's not going to be Moscow. It's Denzel Dax. Like, transfer from Ohio.
Not everybody.
Wasn't on anyone's list and is playing pretty good ball. I mean, he's not given what Avery gave last year or even what Rod Perry gave the year before at nose. But, you know, he's been better than Tira, and he's solidified that spot. We just weren't sure. We thought it would be Virtus Brown. Then he transferred. Like, who's going to hold down that spot? And I think Daxon has been a pleasant surprise in that arena.
See, I'm struggling with the name because there's a lot of guys that have flashed, but we just struggled with consistency. And so you have Miles Scott having a great game, and then he struggles in, you know, pass protection, can't get over on deep passes versus Wisconsin.
Yep.
You know, Toby looks good 1 week and then struggles. Strain had a good, you know, against Maryland and then, you know, struggles. I think the entire team has been very inconsistent. So to see one guy who has really stepped up, I just haven't seen it.
Your answer is none? I mean, it's five.
I didn't say none.
I'm sorry. I just give you
none of the above.
I mean, offensive line. I mean, Tip's probably the answer on offense.
But he can't block.
Sorry, Tip. That was Carmen. That was not me.
I want you 275 pounds. Just get in front of the guy. Don't whiff.
Okay. Your answers to that question are Denzel Daxon and none of the above. Oh, God, that's great. Okay. Oh, God, they're all... I wanted to get some of them that were earlier. What's your go-to dining car, cafe car choice? We can just go with what we ordered.
First time on a...
Yeah, that's a good point. I went with the Rigatoni.
U.S. Amtrak train.
Yes. People don't realize that Amtrak has good food. We went with the three-course meal. I had the salad. I had the Rigatoni. And I had the cheesecake. All three were excellent. You had the chicken?
Chicken.
Yeah. But I usually go Flatiron Steak. Like, it's kind of their famous dinner. I know I'm a loser by saying that Amtrak has a famous dinner, but I am who I am. I usually go Flatiron Steak. So my answer to that question is my go-to is the Flatiron Steak. Okay. Still have it open. Best seats to watch a game. Love this question. I mean, you're sitting where you want to sit, right? Like, for game viewing angles?
So, for any sport?
Yes.
If you can get the first row of whatever balcony or upper deck.
Yes.
You go to a hockey game at the United Center and you sit first row, 200 level. You are right on top of it. Those are better than the... $250 glass seats.
Agreed.
Even football, first row balcony, you're close enough, or upper deck, or whatever you want. I mean, depending on the stadium.
Yep.
Those are outstanding.
And just let the people know, between the two of us, which one of us sits front row balcony?
In between the.
You don't like being 50 in the
yard, 50 yard line, not minus 20. Yeah.
What the minus 5?
Once again, Winona, Minnesota, come right up.
Winona, Minnesota. What do you know about Winona, Minnesota? Anything?
Yeah, baseball.
Come on.
Historically, again, great. Winona State.
Right, what?
Great. They used to have in the 80s, 90s, great baseball, college baseball program. Guy I played ball with was a scholarship player.
Interesting. Final on the PA. Is this where Red Wing boots are? I want to say the only thing I know about Winona is Red Wing boots, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's a different city.
And I'm going to add a part to that. Worst seats.
Yep.
Behind the basket and in end zones.
I agree behind the basket.
Terrible.
I hate, especially the near basket, you can't tell if the shot went in. Like, there's a little pause on every three-pointer because you're kind of waiting for the crowd to either cheer or not. But I don't hate end zone of football. That's where my Rams season tickets were. And I like watching. It's like watching film. You know, you watch a hole develop.
Yeah.
It's hard to judge. A 3-yard run and a 12-yard run look the same. You just don't know. You know, just can't tell depth. But I do like getting to watch like it's film. I agree. I've always said I don't understand why the balcony seats, front of the balcony, especially the west balcony, aren't immediately sold out the moment tickets are on sale, because the west balk is easily the best place to sit in the entire stadium, and there's only like 16 rows now, and every seat is a good one. There's no nosebleeds. There's nothing too high. So yeah, I agree with that, and that's why my seats are in the front row of the balcony. Okay, next question. Gosh, we're an hour in now.
Speed run.
Okay, speed run.
Three more questions, okay. 30 seconds in.
Okay. You want me to do this for you? Because I'll have to read the question. Okay, here we go.
As long as it's not a controversial topic.
Here we go. Speed run.
30 seconds.
Favorite freshman on the team through 8 games. You go first on this one.
When do I start? I think the freshman class is going to be absolutely outstanding. Oh my goodness.
It's hard.
I liked a lot. All right, that we've seen on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Zachary Toby.
You've seen Toby. You've seen Clark. You've seen Fagan. You've seen Bray.
But in different.
You've seen Kareem.
Barely.
You've seen,
but some of them. I mean, Henderson's going to be really good, but you've only seen bits and plays, you know, bits and pieces of it, right? So,
I mean, I have my answer, so, but you'll probably get mad when I say it.
Go ahead.
You get to go first.
I already went with mine.
Well, who's yours?
I said Toby.
Kenari Welcher.
Oh, yeah. He's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
Kenari Welcher by far. Yeah. Kenari Welcher. He's a future star. Okay.
But Robert didn't have him starting next year, which we had a long discussion about that outside of Milwaukee.
Will we see a change in defensive style as our NFLers move on? The beginning of Bielma's tenure, they said they built the D based on the players they had. We'll see significant changes be made schematically to support the current roster. So more or less, with no Johnny and no Keith,
all right, OBS, this is final.
Do we
this
change
is
our style?
Ladies and gentlemen, you can open your doors. D-Train passengers, once again, do not go far from the train. You only get a few minutes here. Welcome to Winona, Minnesota, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Need a smoke break? Here's our smoke break.
No, because this, I should not answer this, because it's, to me, this is a controversial topic when I say, as I think Jim Leonard has his fingerprints are heavily on this defense,
mm-hmm.
and you're seeing a lot more zone. Not though we've been aggressive a little lately in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we blitzed literally Wisconsin every play in the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't do a whole lot of blitzing. Drop, you know, bend don't break, which I've seen a Leonard defense before at Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we haven't seen a Henry defense because this is his first year. We've seen Walters for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we actually changed our defensive scheme significantly this year.
I like
year.
This answer.
So,
the answer to will we change is we already have.
We have.
Yeah.
And we will change again next year.
Yes. I like that answer a lot. Historically speaking, Illinois football struggles in the month of November. The remaining schedule the way it is, does this team provide different than usual result and have a winning month in November? I'll take this one. Yes, we have always struggled because of depth. this is where it comes to play. Wisconsin would have 6 good linebackers. Illinois would have 3. And Illinois is prepared with those 3. But then 2 of the linebackers twist ankles. And Illinois is going to the 4th and 5th linebacker. Again, I'm just speaking in general the last 30 years. And there's such a drop-off. They're either a younger player or they're just not as talented, not as fast, this and that. And that's why November has always looked like November, I think. Is because everybody has injuries, and when when Illinois has injuries at key positions, it is really hard to replace Keith Randolph. And when Penn State has injuries, they have 3 more solid defensive tackles. And so I think the answer is that has always been the case. To the general point of the question, can we win in this November? The schedule says yes. Iowa's offense is terrible, so you could win a slugfest. Minnesota is not great. You could win tomorrow. And Northwestern, bad. Indiana, bad. I don't care if Northwestern might get to 5 wins or whatever, but they're still not a good football team. These are winnable games. We need to win them.
4 out of your last 5 games, and I'll throw Wisconsin in there, they were backup starting quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Backups.
Yep.
And the only one who's a starter is for tomorrow, who has played very inconsistent football.
Yep.
You need to win these football games.
Yes. This month could go so far for, like you said, getting the 6 wins. Like, a strong finish would be massive this year. Like, massive. Okay. Speed round.
We're 2 into the speed round.
If this team does not go bowling, what do they need to do to get fans back on board in the offseason?
Well, first of all, shout out to the fans and students this year.
Hell yeah.
I thought they did a good job. They showed up to Wisconsin.
We've cleared 50.
Yes.
Every game but one, I think. Which is huge.
If you weren't in lot 31 for the Wisconsin tailgate, and we've been doing it for 25 to 30 years, I have never seen that lot so jammed in my life. Now, I don't know if that's people taking up too much space, but it was
cars jammed. Parking people in, like drive aisles basically closing because people just, hey, there's nowhere else to park. I'm just going to stop right here. What are they going to do? Tow me? I'm leaving. Yes.
So the 10,000 people that bought 12,000 new season ticket holders, that's on the marketing department to call each one of them and get them to renew again. And I don't care if you have to throw food and beverage there, but that's what you need to do. And the marketing department, let's face it, has been before the last couple of years, terrible. And now they're actually stepping up to the game, and they did a great job last year, and they had something to sell, and I still think you can sell even if you don't go to a bowl game.
Yep, because you get so much back next year. I mean, portal could be whatever, but this is not going to be the year like last year where we lost a ton to graduation and the NFL. There should be much higher returning production numbers next year, and if you have your quarterback back and you have some of these, you know, make a decision players back, you could maintain something. Got to get that 6th win, though. Like, it just feels so, like, got to win 3 or 4. Please win 3 or 4.
We can't go to Detroit, but I want to go to Detroit, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready for long 2+ day Amtrak rides to L.A., Seattle, and Portland? No, I'm not. I won't be able to do Amtrak for that. I hear they make these things called airplanes, and they, like, fly, and they're much faster than the train. So I plan to fly. And plus, please recall that I have a granddaughter in Idaho. So anytime we are playing in Washington, Oregon, or California, my route is Champaign to Idaho, see her and my son and daughter-in-law, and then on to whatever game that is. I've already made the plans for next year to go. Let's just talk about that. We're going to beat Michigan at home on the 100-year anniversary. Then we're going off to Oregon, and we'll win that game. And I get to see my granddaughter in the middle of that.
In between, then we'll stop at Bandon Dunes and play August or an October cold couple rounds of golf.
In the wind off the coast. Yes.
And then you can go see your granddaughter.
Yes. With 1 week open next year, who do you think the Illini will schedule? So, I'm sorry, with week one open next year. So, if you didn't hear when the schedule came out, we had, I believe, Eastern Illinois scheduled for like the 21st of September, something like that, whatever the date was. And when the Big Ten redid the schedule, they put our Nebraska game on that date, I believe. And so we now have to, Eastern already has a game. We couldn't move the game, so we've rescheduled it for a future year, and we have to find an opponent for week one.
Let me pause. I'm going to jump in and ask a question on top of that question.
Yes.
Are we required to play a Power 5 non-conference with the Big Ten expanding?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't heard. So that was a Jim Delaney thing.
So we need to, if you talk about to that one of the first questions, where do we fit in the Big Ten?
Yeah.
Well, your four non-cons. You have Missouri coming up. I mean, you have Power Fives on top of this.
We have
this.
A year with both Missouri and Duke, and plus Duke, nine Big Ten games. So we have one slot.
That's a problem.
Yes. Yes.
So my answer is four cupcakes.
Yeah, three. It's three because the Big Ten's sticking with nine.
Yes, fine. Three.
The question, I'll just say this. Delaney, his rules. Again, this is pre-Kevin Warren, even. Delaney made the rules. Every Big Ten team has to play a Power 5 conference, every non-conference. That's why we scheduled home and homes with Kansas, Duke, you know, the teams we've played. Virginia. The other part of that is he had made a rule that you can only play FCS opponents once every other year.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we go.
Have
everyone board a little quicker than so they're finishing off safety protocol on the engine. We'll be underway momentarily. We'd like to welcome all who joined us in Winona. We'd like to remind everybody. For the overnight hours,
thank you.
If you're traveling to a nighttime stop, please be prepared to head downstairs when the conductor wakes you up. We do not make announcements for overnight stops.
Got that?
So we just want to make sure that
we're at about hour 20 on the podcast.
Wakes you up, you
so.
Do follow his instructions.
People, this is captivating audio, trust me.
It's
the leading cause for somebody missing their stop is not following those instructions.
Leading cause. I just realized something. Red Wing boots are not in Winona, Minnesota. You know where Red Wing Boots are? Red Wing, Minnesota. There's somebody who lives in Minnesota who like heard that 20 minutes ago and is like dying. Like, did he just say Red Wing Boots are in Winona?
Isn't that a stop on this?
Yeah. We'll go through Red
Wing.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's so dumb sometimes. Where were we? What were we talking about?
Scheduler.
Oh. So, because Delaney said, and I'm guessing those rules are still in place, have to play a Power 5 every year, can only play an FCS opponent every other year. So we went
Sorry
ahead.
Sorry about that. We had some communication to do. We just want to remind you the last designated smoke break will be at St. Paul. That is the only station we have a smoke break for the nighttime hours. The next smoke break will not be until Minot, North Dakota.
In case you're curious, ladies and gentlemen, smoke breaks
station stop we'll have is Red Wing.
Are very important on our train.
We'll have
this guy's slow with the delivery.
Just under an hour. After 10 p.m., we do not make announcements. It's the quiet hours. We want to remind everyone on board as well, try to be respectful of everyone around you. All devices are required to be in a silent mode, either with headphones or with the volume off.
So our podcast will be ending shortly.
After St. Paul, the
excuse me, you didn't mention anything about podcasting?
The only employees on board will be the conductors, periodically traveling through the coach cars or located in the diner. The call buttons will not alert the conductor and they do not travel through the train. If you need an Amtrak employee during the nighttime hours, you will have to locate a conductor. We do thank you for choosing Amtrak.
Got it.
We will have a brief announcement before St. Paul begins the largest stop on the route. But other than that, we hope everyone has a good rest tonight. And we thank you for choosing Amtrak.
I can't help but feel like that's what people feel like when they're listening to me on a podcast. Like that feeling of like, get to the point and end this, please. That has to be it. Okay, now I'm going to get it out.
And we're the speed round.
Yes. Speed round. The FCS opponent every other year. Next year is that FCS opponent. Played Chattanooga last year. We didn't play any FCS this year. So I can almost guarantee, if that rule is still in place, which I believe it is, we'll, since we have to replace Eastern Illinois, we'll replace it with an FCS. So we'll find Murray State, or we'll find Youngstown State, or somebody, and we'll play Tennessee Tech in Champaign next year. So my guess for that game is whatever FCS opponent we can find that maybe can move their own schedule. Or, you know, Bielma does love week zero. A chance we could make that game a week zero game.
But then it won't be FCS.
Yeah, good point. Okay.
Last question.
Last question. I got to pick a good one. Hold on, let me go back to the Slack, see if there's any other questions there. Since I have a signal here in
last question.
Okay, last question.
I'm gonna ask you. Last question.
No, there's a few more to get to here. So yeah.
Are you gonna sit in the stands with us, or are you gonna be in the press box?
Press box. I decided to do press box on road games this year, and I've stuck to it. There's reasons.
Are you even allowed to go to the game tomorrow?
I did ask Coach if I could, and he asked me if I stayed for the whole game last week. yes, but if it looks. Yes, I am going to the game. Because, I mean, really, I don't believe in those superstition things.
But what's your title? You're a fan?
Fanalist.
Fan.
Mm-hmm.
Be in the stands. If you want Robert to be in the stands...
Oh, God, don't say this out loud.
Go on to Slack and tell him to be in the fans with his people.
I don't need to. No. I'll have warmth. I'll have stats in front of me. okay. Trying to find a good final question. We covered that one. We covered that one. We covered the dining car. Okay. I'm just going to give you this one. It's probably a friend of yours. I don't know. Someone is putting it on the tee for you. You ready?
I don't have friends.
Okay. Dirk asks, can you still build a winning Big Ten program based on running the ball and great defense with the addition of these Pac-12 teams? Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, Carmen's on Slack as run the ball. So running the ball has been his mantra his entire life. So you get the final word here. Can you still play that style of football with Oregon, Washington, UCLA, USC?
Well, I've seen some of their defenses. So, yes, if you're going to go on a road trip to Autzen, you know, into those hostile environments, you need to run the ball. I don't think you're going to compete with USC in a 52-49 game. However, if you can put 300 yards on the ground against them, the answer is yes. You got to play big boy football. Now, can you do that in the current Big Ten consistently? Well, we'll see. For Illinois, we'll see. We did it last year, but we're struggling this year. But yes, with the I don't think. Changing your offensive scheme is dictated by adding those four Pac-12 teams in. In fact,
that's how I would beat them.
Yeah. I mean, Rose Bowl, how did USC beat us in the Rose Bowl? They ran for 380 yards or whatever, you know? Like running the ball is still a way to win football games.
And, you know, things change, right? You saw all the up-tempo Chip Kelly things, and that was a fad, that, you know, and that, I mean, teams are still going up-tempo, but they're not, you know, trying to get to 80, 90 plays per game now, right? It's still, it's tempo, but it's not, you know, super fast.
Right.
Defensive coordinators, they have adjusted, players are in shape for it, right? Mm-hmm. The 11 personnel that everyone plays now, you see these defenses catching up. I mean, scoring in the Big Ten is down, right? I mean, now, obviously in the Pac-12, it's mm-hmm. it's up there, right? But everyone adjusts. And one consistent, I believe, especially, well, you talked about the wind and Champagne.
Yep.
You got to run the ball.
Yep. I think, like, my answer to that is that I don't think the Iowa method has a long enough shelf life where it's like, we just rely fully on the defense. I think that, you know, it's even proving at Iowa that it's a strong, you know, like, they're realizing the shortcomings of that. But, yeah, the Alvarez, then Bielma, Wisconsin teams that dominated you with a Monte Ball or a go all the way to back to Brent Moss, you know, all those running Wisconsin teams that will still play. That will still be a thing.
And it was four yards in the fourth quarter. They bust a 70-yarder.
Yep.
And we haven't busted one.
Yeah, you're right.
We don't have many. Not the big play? What would they call in the NFL?
Explosive
plays, or you know, if you track 20+.
Yep.
20+ yard plays and all mm-hmm. that. In the running, I'm talking the running game, other than our quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right. We haven't had that home run ball.
Right.
The Reggie Corbin.
Yeah.
And that's the key
to running the game.
Chase last year.
That all of a sudden in the fourth, you know, late third quarter, you break mm-hmm. a few tackles and you hit the home run 60-yarder, and now
Yep. I mean, let's face it, the last Big Ten team to win a national title, the biggest play of that year was that 80-yard run by Ohio State against Alabama with Ezekiel Elliott. You know, they played that game against Alabama and won a national title. Like, run the ball and you're eventually going to break one, and where they call it 80 yards straight through the heart of the South or whatever Ohio State fans call that play. That's how they beat Alabama, and then they went on to win a national title. So, yeah, I would agree with you that it's still possible. And with that, at 1 hour and 22 minutes, somewhere between Winona and Red Wing, we bid you adieu. Go Illini.